You see, brothers and sisters, when I'm aligned with God, and I need you to see the power of alignment, that when I'm aligned with God, I have all the resources of heaven available to me. That when I'm aligned with God, everything that God is and everything that is at God's disposal is at my disposal.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of part 8 of More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part 8 of More Than Conquerors.
We are winding down in our series that we started at the beginning of the year, More Than Conquerors. We have the message today, and then we have a final message next week. In Romans 8:37, the Apostle Paul said, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And so we've been challenged with the idea of being a conqueror. And we said that there's something that keeps us from being a conqueror. And we went back to Proverbs and we talked about that lion that's in the streets. And we quoted these two verses in Proverbs chapter 22 and Proverbs chapter 26, both 13, where it says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets." And so we see that this slothful man has potential to do things, but is stifled by the fact that he uses an excuse for not doing what it is that he's supposed to do. And so we said that the lion actually represents an excuse. So if we are called to be conquerors, you know, and I keep saying this, you know, either the word of God is true and we are what it says we are, or it's not. I choose to believe that the word of God is what it says it is, his very word, and it allows me to be what it says I can be. And he says that I'm more than a conqueror. But yet and still, I find that these obstacles are in the way that keep me from reaching my full potential. And sometimes these obstacles come in the form of excuses. And what is an excuse? An excuse is an explanation used to defend or justify a fault. So sometimes we come up with excuses to try to justify why we didn't do this or why we didn't do that. But kind of the focus that we've been looking at in this series is that it's a lack of desire and effort to achieve a goal. That if God has something for you to do and you are using excuses to keep you from being that overcomer that God has called you to be, then you are letting that lion keep you from doing what it is that God has called you to do. So we see that the lion represents a disabling justification. Now, God has called us, as in this whole concept of being conquerors, he has called us to conquer excuses. And so we see here excuses are incapacitating justifications. We looked at those verses just now in Proverbs, which robs one of prosperity. And here's where we have been focusing at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the Torah, the law, the total teachings of God. His delight is in the law of God. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and watch this now, and whatsoever he does shall prosper, shall prosper. And we looked at that Hebrew word prosper, salia, and it means, you know, we have the wrong concept sometimes of prosperity. You know, we think that it means for us to have, you know, great riches and live in a mansion and drive expensive cars. But that's not prosperity in Psalm 1:3. The word prosperity, and I love it. I love this word prosperity because it means to be successful. It means to accomplish that which was intended. That whatever you are called to do, you are an overcomer. And you should complete. You should be successful in the endeavors of life. But the problem is that these excuses come and they suck the life. They suck the life out of our dreams, out of our goals, and out of our Psalm 1:3 prosperity. Are you allowing excuses? Are you allowing illogical justifications to keep you from doing what it is that you are supposed to do? We have looked at the model for overcoming. And this little model that I put together, at the bottom you see you. And on the other end, you see prosperity, right? There's you and there's prosperity. There's you and there's successfully doing what it is that you're called to do. There's you and there's your goals. There's you and there's the dreams that you want to see come to completion. But the problem is that there's a big bad lion in the way. There's a lion in the streets. And a lot of people use that lion to hold them down. A lot of people allow that lion to keep them from what it is what they're supposed to do. And so we put this model together for overcoming. We talked about, and you know, if you might want to go back and get these sermons that we talked about, because we went in detail on all these topics. More than a conqueror. And we said that sometimes, you know, it takes a lion to beat a lion. Sometimes that you got to rise up and you got to be like a lion and you got to fight that lion. We talked about taking responsibility, that nobody's going to take responsibility for your life but you. Nobody's going to do that. You know, you are responsible for your life. Wherever you are in life right now, and if you are happy about where you are in life, or if you are dissatisfied about where you are in life, it's nobody's fault but your own. You know, you are responsible for that. Well, you might say, well, you know, I had some bad circumstances that have come up in my life. I've had some setbacks. I had some things that have happened beyond my control. But the fact is that you're still responsible for your life. Whether something happened to you beyond your control or not, you are still responsible for your life. We talked about a biblical self-portrait. We talked about passion and purpose. And that leads us to the message today. And we're going to talk about alignment, alignment, alignment with God. What is alignment? The word alignment means to arrange in a straight line or in a correct or appropriate or relative positions, a position of agreement or alliance. So alignment means that you are lined up. Let me go on. What does it mean theologically? Theologically, it means that I am in a position of alignment with God. That means that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I am in a right position before God. And furthermore, it means that I am abiding in intimate relationship with him, and I am living out his purpose for my life. I'm aligned with God. You see, brothers and sisters, when I'm aligned with God, and I need you to see the power of alignment, that when I'm aligned with God, I have all the resources of heaven available to me. That when I'm aligned with God, everything that God is and everything that is at God's disposal is at my disposal. Look at this next thing. And we see here that When we are aligned with God, we are aligned with God. We are aligned. There you go. All right. That when we are aligned with God, we are aligned with the all-powerful, loving Father. So just meditate and think about what that means. That we are aligned with the all-powerful God of the universe. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Do you see that when I'm aligned, that I am aligned with the all-powerful God of the universe, and to think that this all-powerful God of the universe wants to have a relationship with me. Wow. It blows my mind that the God who created all the heavens, and we did a series years ago on the creation and God's creative power, how great is our God. We did a series on that, and we talked about the infinity of this universe, and that this God who rules over the eons of the stars and the galaxies and all the planets, he wants to have a relationship with me. My goodness. There was a little boy, he was on his airplane, on an airplane, and there was a man, professor, that was sitting beside him. And the little boy had a Sunday school book. And the professor saw that he was reading his Sunday school book, so he said that he thought that he would ask the boy a question. And he said, "Son," he said, "I see you reading your Sunday school book." He said, "If you tell me one thing that God can do, I'll give you an apple." And the little boy looked at him and said, "Mister, if you can tell me one thing that he can't do, I'll give you a whole barrel of apples." That this God, can you see that if I'm lined up, I mean, if I'm in a right position with this God, and if you go, can you go back to the slide before real quick? What does it mean to be, it means that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are on your way to be in alignment with God. And then it comes down to that on a daily basis, I'm living out this relationship. I'm spending time with him. I'm walking and talking with him. And as I line up with him, go back to the next slide, the slide, that if I'm lined up with him, I'm lined up with the all-powerful God of the universe. And not only am I lined up with the all-powerful God of the universe, but I'm lined up with a God who is my heavenly Father, who loves me to death. That I'm lined up with a God who is just crazy about some Bill Glaze, right? God is so crazy about me that he got my picture on his refrigerator. That God loves me. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. That we are the children of God. And if I can just get myself in a right position with this all-powerful God who loves me. You know, there was a lady who was in a Muslim country. And every time she would come into the store, she would say, "God loves me. God loves me. God loves me." And there was a guy there, was a Muslim, and he got tired of hearing her say it. He said, "Why don't you just shut up and why don't you stop saying it?" And she said, "I got to say it because the Bible says that God loves me." And then she put the challenge out to this individual. She said, if you can show me one place in the Quran where it says that Allah loves me, I'll become a Muslim. And the man went and he researched and he researched and he could not find one place in the Quran where it said that God, Allah, loves me. And she challenged him from the scripture. And to make a long story short, this individual gave his life to Jesus Christ based upon the fact that God loves him. That this God of the universe, that he loves me. I love what I wrote in my book, In the Garden, which deals with how to have intimacy with God. And I took a quote from The Hour That Changes the World. And this was an elderly lady's response when she asked, when she was asked how she spent her days. She said, well, I always begin my day with a good season of prayer. In fact, I pray until I can't pray anymore. Then I take my Bible and read it until I can't read anymore. After that, I take a hymn book off the shelf and I sing and I can't until I can't sing anymore. Then I just sit back quietly and let God love me. Then I just sit back quietly and let God love me. Oh, if we could just get in alignment with God. We have an all-powerful God who loves us. And if we can line up with this all-powerful God who loves us, we have all the resources of heaven at our disposal. See, when God created us, we find that we were in alignment with God. And so when we were aligned with God, that Adam and Eve, think about it, they were lined up perfectly with the all-powerful God who loved them. And because they were in this relationship, there was no need for them to make an excuse. Because why? Because everything that God wanted them to do, they did. Everything that God wanted them to do, they were successful. The Bible says that they walked and talked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. And can you imagine that intimate relationship, that powerful relationship, that loving relationship, and being able to do whatever it is God wants you to do? But there was a problem. And the problem is, and this is where we need to realize what happened, is that, well, we think that, go to that next slide, that when God created us, we were made in his image. We were made in the image of God. So we were lined up with God, and we were made in his image. It was a spiritual image that we were able to communicate with God spirit on spirit, unlike any other creature in existence. You know, the animals don't have this kind of relationship that Adam, he was able to spirit on spirit, that his spirit was able to communicate with God's spirit in its purest sense of the word. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Just for his spirit to just cry out and connect with God's spirit, and there was no interference. You know, when you think about sometimes when you're trying to adjust your radio and you might get it on the number before the dial that it needs to be set on, or the number that is afterwards, and you get static and you get interference, but when you get it right on that number, you can hear clear. And so Adam and Eve, they weren't adjusted on the number before, and they weren't adjusted on the number after. But they were tuned right in to the heart of God. It was a moral image that God is a moral individual. God is righteous. God stands for what is right. And God stands for what is decent. Adam and Eve were created in the moral image. It was an intellectual image. The fact that God is omniscient, that God is all wise, God is all knowing. And that he created man in his image. It was an intellectual image. And I tell people this all the time, and you probably heard me say this before. You know, to me, I'm not overwhelmed by the fact that Adam named all the animals. What overwhelms me is the fact that he remembered what he called them all. You know, if you think about, you know, all the, I don't know, billions or thousands or whatever it is, and then for him to go through all of them and name them, and then go back to the fifth one that he named, and then remember what he called it. You know? Man, I have a hard time remembering where my keys are sometimes. You know? And so you know, when we have problems remembering, that we need to realize that's a part of that interference, right? That Adam had that, he didn't have that problem. Adam did not have the problem of memory. Why? Because he was created in the image of God. And that image was an intellectual image. It was an authoritative image that God gave Adam to rule over everything. Everything, all of the creation, God gave Adam to rule over. And it was a social image. The fact that there's fellowship in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that they fellowship together. And God gave human beings this whole idea of fellowship. But as I said earlier, there's a problem that came in. If you go to the next slide. And that is what happened. We got misaligned. Wow. We got misaligned. That we know we are no longer in alignment with God. And this absolutely blows my mind. And that is the second that Adam got misaligned after he took a bite of the fruit, the second he got misaligned, what was the first thing, let's put it this way, the first recorded words to come out of his mouth? An excuse. Wow. The first words to come out of his mouth were an excuse. The woman that you gave me. First words that come out of his mouth when he got misaligned. So you see, excuses, and I'm going to share this in a second, excuses are misalignments with God. When we make excuses, we are actually misaligned with God. And so furthermore, we see this misalignment in what happened to man. So the spiritual image, right? The spiritual image became marred. We got messed up. Man, I'll tell you what, excuse me for using this word, right? But we got jacked up, man. Yeah, we got jacked up. When we got misaligned with God, the spiritual image, it was marred. Because now, instead of people worshiping God, what do? They worship demons. They're involved in the occult. They have pride, narcissism. You know, the whole spiritual thing has been messed up. What about morally? We got messed up morally, right? Here we were, these moral beings created in the image of God. Now what do we see? Pornography, fornication, adultery, alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual identity issues. Man, we got messed up. Morally, we got misaligned morally. We got misaligned intellectually. Because now what do we see? Instead of us having that mental connection with God, we got phobias, we got bipolar, we got obsessive compulsive disorders, we got suicide, we got ADD, we got schizophrenia, we got anorexia. What happened? Why do people deal with that stuff? See, you know, psychologists try to give us all these things. And, you know, thank God for the psychologists and the psychiatrists, because they can tell us things from a human perspective. They can tell us what is going on from a human perspective. But see, a lot of times, you know, we are working and we are addressing the wrong issue, because we sometimes address a human issue, and we need to be addressing a...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Part 8 of More Than Conquerors. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Part 8 of More Than Conquerors, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Part 8 of More Than Conquerors. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Part 8 of More Than Conquerors, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.